Meanwhile, the oldest son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he said. He replied, "and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you've never given me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends." But when this son of yours who has squandered your property and possessions comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him. My son, the father says, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we have to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Let us pray. Most holy and everlasting Father, as once again I stand before you and your people, Heavenly Father, asking for your permission to preach, not for fame or for reputation, Heavenly Father, but to glorify you. Heavenly Father, at this time I ask that you use me as you see fit. Heavenly Father, let your will, not my will, be done. Heavenly Father, for I am weak and you are strong. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. These things I ask in your darling Son, Jesus' name, and for his sake. Amen. Now, we are all familiar with the prophecy. We are all familiar of the parable of the lost son. You know, they always talk about the son whom went to his father and asked the father to split up the possessions and give him half so he could have his share of what the father owned. All right, once he received these possessions, the son decided, all right, he's going to take off. He's leaving. So the son goes off and squanders away everything that he owns. And then after he wakes up one day penniless and has nothing left to his name, he realizes now he's hungry and has nothing to eat. So he hires himself out to a citizen of the land, and this citizen has him go out in the field to feed the pigs. Now, the pods that he was feeding the pigs, he was tempted to eat. But he came to himself. Or, as my Bible says, he came to his senses. And he decided that there was no need for him to walk around being hungry. If he went to his father's house, there was plenty to eat. And so he decided he was going to go home. Now, like I said, we've all heard about that son. Everybody talks about that son. But you don't hear very much about the one who stayed home. See, I'm here today to talk about the one who stayed home. You know, there's something to be said about that son who stayed home. You know, he had dedication. He wanted to be loyal to his father. So he stayed next to the father and worked the fields. Now we see that the older son was coming in from the fields. And as he got closer to the house, he realized that the music was playing, the lights was on, and they were having a good old time. And as the older son got closer, he called one of the servants and said, "Tell me, what's going on? Why is all the music going on? And, you know, the lights on and everybody sounds like they're having a good time. Tell me, coming. What's happening? So the servant looks at the older brother. He said, well, your younger brother's just come home. And to follow the show of celebration, has killed a fatted calf, and we're having a celebration. Now, this is where you see the true colors of the older son. The older son becomes angry. The older son gets upset. He's saying, wait a minute. Now, I've been with the father all these years. I've been by his side. I worked day in, I worked day out there in those fields, sweating and slaving for him. Not once have I left his side. Not once have I asked my father to kill the fatted calf for me so I could have a celebration, celebrate with my friends. And so when the older brother finds out that they're having a party for the younger son, he decided he's not going to go inside. He decided that he had made up his mind that why should he go in and celebrate for somebody who's squandered off everything that his father has given him, everything that he has owned. Right here is where you can see the older brother saying, why me? What about me? What about me? What about me? I am the one who's been here all this time. What about me? You never killed a fatted calf for me. Now here this son comes who's been gone. As I call my younger son, Mr. Party all the time. Mr. Party all the time comes back home and now we're having another party for him. The older brother could not understand that. It did not make good sense to him. And so now the father goes out and talks to the older son. He had to let the older son know that he still loved him. There was no love lost between this son and that son. See, the older son had no idea what it meant to be a father. See, it takes a special talent to be a father. Because, believe me, being a father was one thing I was not prepared for. There were no books on it. Yeah, there are books on it, but each one is different. Believe me, each one is different. And hey, you got a set of rules. So you got to go with this one. You got to do this one. And there are no two alike. Believe me. And so the son had no idea what it's like to be a father. And like I said, I didn't know what it was like to be a father. But I knew one thing. When I asked my wife to marry me, I took on the responsibility of being a father and a husband. Not only did that mean taking care of my wife, that also meant taking care of the children that came along with that wife. Now, that meant that, hey, when they came to me and ask for something, they were looking for an answer. They were looking for a solution to whatever that problem may have been. And I'm going to tell you something. And having, being a father and having a son, oh man, that's batting 100. Now you got somebody that's going to carry on the name. You know, you got somebody that's going to be your namesake. Now the family goes on. Let me tell you something. There's something to be said about daughters, too. Well, believe me, I got 5 sons and 3 daughters. And right about now, I'll trade them all in for my daughters. Because I'm going to tell you something. My daughters call me at least twice a week to check on me, see how I'm doing. My daughter that's here comes by at least twice a week and makes sure I have something for dinner. My sons, only time I hear from them is, Dad, you got $20? Dad, you got $30? That's the only time I hear from them. See, so like I said, it's, you know, there's a responsibility in being a father. See, so the older son had not experienced that yet. See, the only thing the older brother was thinking about was himself. He was concerned with himself because of the fact that, hey, he had been there on that farm or on that property working the whole time the younger brother was gone. But like I said, the father, when he went out and spoke with the son, his attitude didn't change. His motive didn't change. He was still calm. He was collected. And he spoke with that elder son just like he did the youngest son. He had compassion. He had love. He had all these things for the older son also. See, because he let the older son know that everything I own is yours. Nothing's changed. Not a thing has changed. When I divided the property down the middle and gave you half and gave the other brother half, nothing of that has changed. You still have your possessions. So don't get upset because the younger brother has come back home. He still has nothing coming, but I will feed him. Because of the simple fact that he is my son. And I still have love for my son. God still has love for the son. God still has love for what? The lost. See, that's what this parable is all about. It's not about just the lost son. It's about the lost people of the world per se, period. This parable is about anyone who's ever been out there caught up in the world, recognized that they've made a foolish mistake, realized that they need God in their life, turned around and come back. That's what this is about. See, a lot of you all act like you don't understand. You act like you don't know what it's like to be out there and get caught up in the world and get caught up in the vices of this world. Believe me, they're out there. I know I talk to my grandson on a daily basis, and he comes to me and he says, Poppy, that's what they call me. He said, Poppy, but that's not fair. And I tell him, son, the world's not fair. I said, when you step outside this door, I said, this world's going to treat you like you're a bald-headed stepchild. And I said, I'm just trying to prepare you for that. I don't want you to walk outside these doors thinking that the world is going to be fair to you because it's not. Don't get caught up on that. But you've taught me. Yes, I taught you to be fair. I taught you to be reasonable. But those things are things you need. But also remember, not everybody out there is saved. That's where the difference comes in. See, you're not dealing with everybody out there is not saved. You're not dealing with saved people all the time. See, so The younger brother got caught up with a bunch of unsaved people. When he came to himself, he decided, hey, he was better off at home. But the older brother is saying now he's coming back to get more. That's what was on the other older brother's mind. I know that's what it was. He's saying, wait a minute. This dude had already spent up half of your possessions and all this other stuff on these wild women out there partying and doing all this other stuff. Now that he's broke and he's hungry, he's coming back for some more. That's why he's back here. And the older brother is saying, Dad, you better not fall for it. Don't go for that. But the father is saying, regardless, still my son. And because he's my son, I take off my coat and put it on his back. If he doesn't have any shoes, give him my shoes. Because he's my son. Because I have that much love for him, I will do whatever it takes for him. See, I told my youngest son, I said, you don't understand. You got sons now. I said, when they come to you and they say that they are hungry, it is your job and your duty to make sure that they get something to eat. I said, don't you dare go to bed and let them be hungry. Don't you dare do it. I never did it, and you're not going to do it. Whatever it takes, call me. If you can't do it, call me. That's why I'm here. And that's what God's saying. If you need me, call me. That's why I'm here. See, we tend to forget why God is here. So we need him. So I'm telling you, we should need him all the time. See, once the older brother got past his anger and the father continued to talk with him, we find that eventually he decided to go in. But it took him a while to even recognize the younger brother as being his brother. Because the older brother, once he had left and went off, had disowned him. But see, the father had to remind the older brother that regardless, he's still your brother. Regardless of where he goes, where he's been, what he has done, he's still your brother. And God's saying, regardless of what you do, what you've done, if you stand up and repent and turn away from whatever it is, I will take you back. Just come to me and I'll take you back. We find that hard to believe, that we serve a God that would forgive us for all the cruel and inhumane things that we have done. Because I've looked back over my past and I looked at some of the things I've done. I'm not proud of them, but God has forgiven me for them because I've asked him to forgive me. That's all you have to ask for, forgiveness. I promised I wasn't going to keep you all long, so let me bring this to the conclusion here. So after the older brother realized that the father was not going to divide up the possessions again and that he still had his share of the property, I guess a little light should have came on saying that, gee, here all this time was I'm complaining about you never killed the fatted calf for me, and I had it all. Because if you look further down in the scripture, it says, all my possessions I give to you. He had it all. Anytime he wanted a calf, a goat, or whatever, he could have went out there and had it. It was his. He had it all. See, he was so busy, caught up in his own way of thinking, he forgot the basics. He owned it. He could have did anything he wanted to with it. And see, I don't know about you all, but I'm a little slow, so it took me a little time to really figure out what this whole parable meant. It did. It took me a little while. You know, I had to think about it. And actually, the light didn't come on until what? I was going over my sermon Thursday. Ah, bingo. There it is. That's what it is. I know you already knew what this parable meant. But it's real easy. This parable means that every time somebody turns their life over to Christ, there's a celebration in heaven. It took me 20 years to figure that out. But that's what that parable means. It means that when you turn your life over and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's a celebration. That's why the father killed the fatted calf and they were all celebrating. Because he that was lost has now been found and he's come home. That's what it's all about. Boy, like I said, it took me 20 years. Or actually, it just took me a couple, you know, just had to read it over it a couple of times and then pray about it, think about it. There it is. Yeah, no, I know. I got it now. Because, see, I knew you all knew it the first time you heard it, right? Okay. I'm the slow one. I tell you, I admit it. So, in conclusion, I just want us to remember that every time somebody gives their life to Christ, there's a celebration in heaven. And if they can celebrate in heaven, why in the world can't we celebrate here? You know, every time somebody walks up here and gives their life to God, we should be shouting for joy. Because, hey, there's another one that the devil didn't get. But see, instead, we sit here so pious, like, oh, yeah, that was supposed to happen. Be grateful for what God does for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to come before your people and break within the bread of life. Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity to serve you for 20 years. Lord, I'm going to tell you, it hasn't been easy. But with your help and with your guidance, I made it this far. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being such a good God. And God, thank you for caring about a wretch like me.